Let us pray. Lord God, as we celebrate and get ready for the coming of Jesus Christ, we pray that now you would come among us and that you would open our hearts and our minds and our lives to your word, for we ask it in his name. Amen.
Amen.
Hope everybody had a happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, we did.
As you can tell by my profile, I did. But may I be the first to say Happy New Year. Hey, Happy New Year. Hey. As you know, first Sunday in Advent marks the new year on the church calendar. And always the first Sunday in Advent has those heartwarming lessons looking for the second coming of Christ and those prophecies. The second coming of the Son of Man as we prepare to celebrate the first coming of the Son of Man. And you know, we have every year as we move through the years, we have three cycles of liturgy. We have cycle A, B, and C. We just moved in to C. So this year we'll be hearing mostly from the Gospel of Luke, some John scattered here and there. And we just came out of B, which was the Gospel of Mark. And if you can remember, if you were here two Sundays ago last year, two Sundays ago, the gospel lesson was on Jesus' Olivet Discourse, the teachings of some of the end times, those prophecies. It began there in Mark where the disciples see the stones in the temple and they say, whoa, how amazing these are. And Jesus tells them not one will be left on top of another. And he prophesied about the destruction of the temple and the destruction of Jerusalem. And I think it's interesting that this week, here we are 2 weeks later, in the Olivet Discourse in Luke, we're in the second part of the Olivet Discourse where Jesus, he moved from talking about the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple to, and the abomination that leads to desolation is what that was called. And then he moved to more general teachings about the end times when he would return. And the first one, you know, that first part of the prophecy, it's cataclysmic on a local scale. And then the prophecies move out and it's cataclysmic on a global scale is what we're hearing today in the gospel lesson. And I said 2 weeks ago, and I'll say it again. So if you heard it, be prepared to hear it again. End time prophecies and the writings about end time prophecies and the teachings about end time prophecies have become a cottage industry in a lot of Protestant circles. And that's okay. It's just not in my circle. It's not a circle I run in. There is a wealth of prophecies for those people to pull from in scripture. And they do. They pull, you know, from Daniel. They pull from Revelation. They pull from the teachings of Jesus. And they look at all of these things, and then they find parallel things in our human history, current and past, and they line them up. And generally, the conclusion is we're living in the end times. And that's been the conclusion since people started doing this 2,000 years ago. We've all been living in the end times. And as I said, the last people that do this will be right. They're the ones that'll get it. But some people, and I even have friends in this, who they spend an inordinate amount of time working on these end time scenarios. And you would think there's just one, but there's not. There are arguments among them. And they get into You know, are you premillennial? Are you postmillennial? Are you amillennial? Are you pre-trib? Are you post-trib? Referring to the tribulation. And they have all these different categories. And I guess you just pick one and go with it. But they're all trying to pinpoint the time when Jesus comes. Part of the reason for that is that they want to warn people to be ready. They, in the sense that, you know, they think if they tell people Jesus is coming, you know, next Tuesday, people will get ready and they'll repent and come to Christ. And some do, I'm sure. But I am absolutely positive in my own heart that that is not why these prophecies are there for us. And it's okay to disagree. I believe that the prophecies are there not to scare us into repentance. They're there for our comfort. They're there for our reassurance. They're there for the followers of Jesus to have hope. Is that I don't know how it's going to unfold. I don't know the future, but I know who holds the future. Jesus Christ. And someday, according to the teachings of Christ, and I believe this, horrific, cataclysmic events are going to take place. The foundations of the heavens will be shaken, just as in our lesson today. And people will faint from fear of all the things that are coming upon them, just sheer terror. But Jesus said, you know, when you hear that, you tend to focus on the, oh my gosh. But then Jesus said the very next verse, when these things begin to take place, stand up, lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. This is good news. Now, immediately following the parable of the fig tree, which Jesus tells in our lesson today, he says, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. It's going to be okay. Take comfort. Have hope. Another way of saying is, I've got this. Jesus is saying, I got it. Don't worry about it. It's coming. Now, to those who spend this inordinate amount of time looking at these prophecies, they want to know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And I would like to share an observation with them and with you. And I am not condemning what they're doing in the least. I only challenge the validity and value of what they're doing. Not attacking them personally. Before Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, there were numerous prophecies regarding the coming of the Messiah in the Old Testament. We all know this. There are hundreds of them. And people studied them earnestly. And the rabbis knew them. And they preached about him and people talked about him. They knew the town where he was to be born. They knew he would be born of a virgin. They knew all kinds of things about what the Messiah would do and could do. People waited expectantly, preaching and teaching about it. And they talked about it. We have them talking about it in the New Testament. In John 7. 40 and 42, I want you to listen to this conversation from when Jesus was teaching in the temple. On hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. Still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not scripture say that the Messiah will be one of David's descendants from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? They knew the prophecies. They knew them. And they prepared themselves. And you know what? They missed it. They didn't get it right. They did not get it right. So I want to say to the people today, if they didn't get it right, what makes you think you're going to? They even had more time to prepare than you did. And they got it wrong. That's not what it's about. We have end time prophecies to give us hope, which is what we celebrate today, and that we might prepare. God did not call us in order to hunker down and wait and watch and figure out and be able to predict and tell people when he was coming. He called us and he empowered us to be about his ministry until he comes. The parable of the waiting servants in Luke 12. I'll read it to you. Be dressed and ready for service. Keep your lamps burning like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve. He will then recline at the table and or have them recline at the table, and he will wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. When the heavens are shaken and cataclysmic things begin to happen all around us, what do we do? We minister in the name of Jesus Christ. When you hear what's going to happen and you say, and people are fainting from terror, and that sounds like a mission field to me, those people need to hear the gospel. We minister until we're told to stop. And that would have to be by Jesus being present. The kingdom of God will not be advanced if we are all running around like our hair's on fire, shouting, the end is near, the end is near. That helps no one. I tell you, I learned a lot of things this week. On Monday, we picked up our 3.5-year-old granddaughter, Isabel, to come and stay with us. And then the plan was on Thanksgiving, her parents would come, retrieve her, and leave. Well, she came, and she got a throat infection and an ear infection and had a cold. I mean, I'm sure she had it before we got her, but it came to fruition. And so she's usually super energetic, but she was slowed down and subdued a little bit. Not much, but a little bit. And we also had Belinda's mother was going to come and stay with us during the week of Thanksgiving. But she was having a medical procedure done, and we took her to that. And she decided she would stay and take care of Isabel while we went to work. And that worked well up until she got it. And then on Thursday, Shannon showed up, and she had it. So we had a little infirmary. But what was fascinating to me this week is what I learned from Isabel. A 3.5-year-old can teach you a lot if you pay attention. We have two dogs, and one of the things I love to do with the dogs, when they want to go outside, they go to the door. And I'll go to the door, and as I'm coming, they start spazzing out. Just jump, yeah, we're going to go outside. And I'll put my hand on the doorknob, and I say, ready. And they get ready. Ready, set, and then I open the door, go! And they're off. Well, Isabel just thinks that's hilarious. And so she wanted to do it. And she went to the door, and instead of saying, ready, set, go, she said, ready, steady, go. And it worked, but I was wondering, like, where does she get that? And she's been listening to me do this all week, and then she comes up, and every time she does, ready, steady, go. So what do? You Google it. Ready, steady, go. Where does that come from? It's what the British say. The British say, ready, steady, go. My granddaughter, Isabel, her last name is Hernandez. She is not English. In any way, shape, or form. She's being raised bilingual, but she's not British. So I was trying to figure out, where did she pick that up? Where did she pick it up? And she wanted me to watch a TV show with her on Thanksgiving Day. So I sat down and we watched Peppa Pig. Oh, are any of you familiar with Peppa Pig? Peppa Pig is British. Oh. Hello, I'm Peppa Pig. And her whole family, everything's British on that show. I mean, we were watching the Christmas one, they're writing for Father Christmas. But she kept calling him Santa. She knows Santa. But anyway, every time they have a contest of some sort, Peppa Pig's father, Papa Pig, says, ready, steady, go. Ready, steady, go. And as I thought about that, I thought, wow, that really fits teachings of the end time. We are to be ready for the coming of the Son of Man. We are to be steady. We are to be steady and about his ministry in his name. And we are to go, just like Jesus told us. That mission did not change. The Great Commission doesn't go away because we're talking about the end times. Go ye therefore. We're still charged with that ministry of Christ. Ready, steady, go. You're going to make a t-shirt. Now, I learned another thing from her that's appropriate for this week. When I picked Isabel up, I told her, I said, you know, worried about her missing her mom. I said, you know, your mom's coming Thursday. And she said, no. 3 days. Mom's coming in 3 days. Okay. And so on Tuesday, I told her, you know, your mom will be here on Thursday. She'll be here in 3 days. She'll be here in 3 days. And then Wednesday night, putting her to bed, I said, you know, your mom will be here in the morning. No. Mom will be here in 3 days. And realize she has absolutely no concept of time. Absolutely none. And she was delightfully surprised when she woke up and her mom was there. Wow, it's 3 days. It's 3 days. And I think Christians would do well to become like children in a lot of ways. And then the way we think about Christ's return. We know for certain that Jesus Christ is coming. He promised it. He said he would. It's part of the gospel message. It's part of our creed. And he'll be here in a few days. He'll be here in a few days. When you read the New Testament, you know, Peter says, now that we're in the last days, you know, just we're in the last days. He's coming in 3 days. If we live like that, it won't matter when he comes. We'll be ready. We have to have that mindset to be ready and to be steady. Now, I've often said on the first Sunday of Advent or any Sunday of Advent, we are the people who live between the Advents. Between the coming of the Son of Man in Bethlehem, the coming of the Son of Man, the last day. And we're in between there. But as I thought about that more and more, I probably shouldn't have been saying that all these years. Because we're people who live in the midst of Advent. Jesus Christ is coming today. You're going to meet him at the Eucharist. You're meeting him now in his word. You've met him in words of prophecy. Jesus Christ is coming today. And Jesus Christ is coming tomorrow. We need to wake up every day with an Advent mindset that I'm going to meet Jesus today. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming, and you are going to encounter him. Yes, he's coming more fully later, but he's coming now. We pray it every day. Thy kingdom come. And we're not just praying for that far off, distant time when the kingdom comes. The kingdom is in breaking into the world now. We live in the kingdom now. We will live it more fully then, for sure. But Christ is coming now. My mother-in-law, Jean, some of you met her, real sweet lady. She grew up in the Moravian church. Her husband was a Moravian pastor. If you don't know what they are, you can go look it up. They were Protestants out of Czechoslovakia originally. But they have a prayer that they say every day for grace when you sit down at the table. And so my mother-in-law being here this week, every time we sat down, we were, and it begins with the sweetest Advent thought. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus, our guest to be. Bless these gifts bestowed by thee. We need to get in an Advent frame of mind. And so I'll leave you with an amen and three-word admonition. Ready, steady, go.